Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you. And we continue to hold you in the light.
I remember the week before last when April spoke, she said that, she can't imagine having to do this every week. I don't know if any of you heard her say that. But, you know, the retreat that's coming up in Cape Horn Springs in September is called Metaphysics, the Language of Unity. And in that, I'm going to teach sort of how I come up with these talks. And we're going to talk about how to not only look at scripture metaphysically, because that it is the main Bible, the main book of unity is the Bible. But again, we look at it metaphysically, and we're going to talk in that weekend about how to go about doing that. And all of the processes that I use to help bring a certain idea to life. Like, you know, for the next, starting last week and the next few weeks, we're going to be doing the interpretation of the 23rd Psalm. Psalm that we all know, we've known it all our lives, but as you really begin to understand how it's interpreted, you really begin to understand the depth of meaning that's in the Bible. You know? So I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. If you're interested really in learning how I go about putting these things together, you might think about coming to that retreat in September. I'm also going to show you the Bible program that I'm going to use. I work with three screens, and on one screen I have seven different versions of the Bible open, so that when I'm looking at a Bible verse, I'm looking at it King James, New King James, Revised Standard, New Revised Standard, NIV, you know, so I can see all of those interpretations, including the New Living Interpretation, which really kind of breaks it down to today's language, you know. So again, like I said, if you really want to know how that comes about, and the fact of how I look at life metaphysically. So that's in that looking at life metaphysically, how it translates over into the lessons that you hear on Sunday. So I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. But anyway, so today's talk, this is called a Psalm for Healing. It's part two. If you you might want to look at part one from last week to get it, because I'm going over it line by line. And last week we went over the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So as we're going to do every week of this series, I'm going to start off by reading the 23rd Psalm to sort of set the basis for our thinking as we're listening to this lesson. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay. So Rabbi Harold Kushner, how many people have heard of him? Okay. In his book, The Lord is My Shepherd, Healing Wisdom of the 23rd Psalm, he says this. In the days that followed the terrible event on September 11, 2001, people on the street and television interviewers would ask me, where was God and how could God let this happen? He said, I found myself responding, God's promise was never that life would be fair. God's promise was that when we had to confront the unfairness of life, we would not have to do it alone, because God, the divine presence, our shepherd, would always be with us. All right? And, you know, so to help us with today's lesson, we're going to read from Isaiah 50:10. Now, you know, some of you like to bring the verse up on your phone or your tablet or whatever and follow along with me. Just know that what you read in the Bible may not sound exactly like what I'm reading. And the reason why is when I speak it to you, I want you to be able to hear it and understand it. And sometimes the Bible language is not easy to understand. You follow me? So sometimes it's paraphrased or interpreted as I say it. So again, Isaiah 50:10. Let those among you who walk in darkness, who have no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on your God. Now, let me read that again with a little bit of interpretation. Let those among you who walk in darkness, meaning spiritual ignorance, all right? That's why Nicodemus came to Jesus in the dark, all right? Said he came at night. Everybody know that story, all right? And remember, Nicodemus was a very highly evolved priest. He really knew all of the spiritual, the dynamics of the Bible and scripture and so forth. But he came to Jesus in the night, meaning he still came in spiritual ignorance. There, you follow me? Okay, so let those among you who walk in darkness, spiritual ignorance, who have no light, meaning no spiritual understanding, trust in the name. And the name means nature of the Lord and rely on your God. Okay? So this is the nature of the 23rd Psalm. It teaches us how to have complete faith and complete trust in the name or nature of God. And as Rabbi Kushner said, a God who is always with us. So in Hebrew, you know, when you look at the Bible, especially the Old Testament, in Hebrew, the scriptures, names in scriptures have a deeper inner meaning. So scripture explains that the Lord always gave the wise men and the leaders a new name when they achieved some great spiritual transforming victory. Okay? So spiritual understanding proves that the name of a great person carries the potency of the characteristic of that name, and whenever that name is repeated, either silently or audibly, the attributes of that name become manifest. That's why we often will end a prayer with, in the name and the nature of our elder brother and way shower, Jesus Christ. So what he's saying here is that when you say the name Jesus, it creates a vibration in the body, okay? And that vibration over time begins to resonate with the Christ that already exists within you. So we all know that we are the eachness of the allness. We're the individual expression of the God idea. We're the bucket out of the ocean. You know, okay, so if you take a bucket and you scoop some of the ocean out, all the attributes of the ocean are in that bucket, and that's what we are, okay? So when you say the name Jesus, and say it especially with reverence, your body vibrates with that reverence. And just think about that. So if you're vibrating with that reverence and stuff is going on in your body, that stuff is starting to heal, okay? So it's holding on to that idea. And then Isaiah is saying the same thing. He says, when he said, let those among you who walk in darkness, spiritual ignorance, who have no light, no understanding, trust in the name or the nature of the Lord and rely on your God, saying that basically, you know, really right now, we're studying, but we don't fully understand. Shake your head like this. You know, we're studying, but we don't fully understand what it is that we're studying. As I said to you, Bible scholars realize that in the Bible, there's a literal meaning, but there are seven levels of meaning. So again, for those who haven't heard me say this before, when Moses came off the mountain with the Ten Commandments, and he saw the people, you know, partying and having an orgy, he was going, oh, they just ain't going to get this. Right, so he took the tablets and he threw them, says the inscription, he broke them, meaning he had to break them down to a level that they would get it. So when you say to somebody, thou shalt not steal, you go, oh, I understand that. Thou shalt not kill, oh, I understand that. But there's deeper levels than that. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so that's the idea. So yes, we know things, but we don't fully understand what we know. Okay, it's like my new department chairman at the college said to me, and she's a really smart young lady in her 30s, PhD. She just became department chairman. She said, Millage, the problem is I don't know what I don't know. Yeah, you know? So that's sort of the idea that we're working with. So the scripture, Isaiah is saying, just have faith in God. Have faith in the nature of God until you understand. And the nature of God is love, a love so profound, so omniscient, so omnipresent, so omnipotent, that it penetrates our being and it knows what we want before we know what to ask for. It is that divine knowing that we want to come to rely on. So Isaiah gives us a warning, though. He says in the second line, which is verse 11, chapter 50, verse 11, he says, "But watch out, you who live by your own light and warm yourselves by your own fires. The reward you will receive is you will lie down in great torment." Now, I think you might understand or figure this out already. Living in your own light is your own intellectual understanding. Okay? And by the warmth of your own fire is your own emotional pride. It's referring to living from the guidance of your ego in opposition to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And it's placing your trust and your faith in your own limited perception instead of the divine knowing that God is the source of all your good. So basically what he's saying there is that stop relying just on yourself. And we'll get to it in a little while, but learn how to be still and listen for a greater level of God. Is that making sense? Okay. And again, it kind of goes back to, and again, this is a very broad statement for those who are very astute in psychology, where I talked about Ken Wilber saying that Western psychology basically deals with sort of shoring up the ego, and Eastern psychology deals with transcending the ego. But as he said, unless the ego is shored up, it can't even begin to think about transcending itself. It makes sense? Okay. So that's the idea we're working with. So it's our spiritual work. I'm sorry. So living from the guidance of your ego creates a reinterpretation of the 23rd Psalm. Living from the guidance of your ego creates a reinterpretation of the 23rd Psalm. It's proclaiming, my ego perception is my shepherd, causing me to always want. All right? However, as Jesus proclaimed in Luke 22:42, not my will, but thine be done, we also must grow in conscious awareness to realize not my ego, but the Lord is my shepherd. Is that okay? So, you know, it's our spiritual work to realize that what we fear, what we feel we lack, what we feel is opposing us is the consequence of following the wrong shepherd. So when you feel your life is in, stuff is going on, it's because you're following the wrong shepherd. Now, but see, again, the intellect says, no, I can figure this out. And it'll figure it out here, but before you know it, it creates it and has to figure it out again. Okay? So the transcendence of that is to be open to spirit, to follow the true shepherd that'll help you to change so you stop creating what it, and that's what Joy was reading in the Daily Word this morning, right? That we keep recreating this same dynamic. So again, as it says in Isaiah 50 again, verse 11, the reward you will receive from following in your own perception the wrong shepherd is you will lie down in great torment. Now, I want you to keep that in mind about this lying down in great torment, okay? But as it is written in Jeremiah 24:7, I will give to them a heart to understand that I am Yahweh, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God when they return to me with their whole heart. All right? So right now when we go to God, we're not going wholeheartedly. Am I you with me? Okay? So it's, and again, just this is just a little aside, that when you read a verse that says Yahweh, the other name we know is what? Elohim. Right away, you want to go to your metaphysical Bible dictionary and understand the difference between those two, including also when you see the word Jehovah. Okay? They all have similar meanings but different impact. All right? So, and you know, and when we return to God with our whole heart, when we return to God with our whole heart, he makes us to lie down in green pastures and he leads us beside still waters. But when we do not turn to God in our time of need, our ego causes us to lie down in great torment, something I'm sure that we have all experienced. You get it? Okay? So, again, the great paradox is that what we perceive as being a normal part of the life process is not normal at all in the divine scheme of things. We have been shepherding ourselves, and this has seemed to be the right way to do things. And again, up to a point, okay? So John the Baptist came before Jesus. John the Baptist was born before Jesus, okay? So the key here is that John the Baptist represents the intellect. So the intellect came first, but John the Baptist said, but he who comes after me is greater than I. You get me? All right? So the scripture is saying to us, yes, it was right all this time to use our intellect, our ego, to figure out how to get ourselves through life. But now we're reaching a point where we have evolved enough to realize that I need to let go of that and turn myself over to the guidance of the Christ. Okay? So we've been shepherding ourselves, but yet our pastures have not always been so green and our water is not always so still. Okay? And even when our pastures are green and our waters are still, because we don't understand the divine process, we worry about how long they will stay that way. Am I right? Stuff is going good, but whoa, I know something's going to happen soon. Okay? But if you're working with the divine process, if you're being led by the divine process, you know that once you are lying down in those green pastures and by those still waters, you know that process is going to continue because you've moved into a different mindset, a mindset that's no longer going to create the turmoil that you normally experience. So to lie down in green pastures is the universe's way or God's way of getting us to surrender whatever we are experiencing into God's hands. And even though I use the anthropomorphic idea of God's hands, I'm referring to divine presence that so permeates our being, again, that it knows our wants, not only before we know them, but God knows what we want and need at a level that transcends what we even are capable of knowing ourselves. So when we say, oh, God, please help me with this, if you could speak to God, he was saying, you don't need help with that. You need help with this. And we would go, what is that? Right? You get me? Because the universe understands our needs at a higher level. That's what I'd said in previous lessons. The problem we have in talking to God is we don't even know the right questions. We're not asking the right questions. We're asking God to fix this when really what needs to be fixed is this and this. Does that make sense? Okay. So this is why, as we stated in another lesson, prayer is not about asking God. The true purpose of prayer is learning how to be still and listen for the prayer that God is praying within us. Our desire to pray is actually God's request to be still and know that I am God. So when you say, oh God, I need to pray about this, that's God saying to you, just be still and listen to what I'm praying in you. You get it? So the next time you say, you know, you find yourself turning God to prayer, just realize I don't need to say nothing to God because God knows already. I just need to be still and listen to what God is praying inside of me. And if you say, what does that mean, God praying inside of me? God is praying inside of you that instead of going in this direction and with all the turmoil involved in that, this is where you should be going. I told you that story about Pam and I coming back from Williamsburg one day. And we took 95, which we never take 95. We always go the back way. Take 95. And there's this one last exit to get off on 301. And I was, you know, I was getting ready to get off on 301 like I was supposed to. And something kept saying to me, don't get off on 301. Go straight. I'm going, no. And I want to get off on 301. No, go straight. And it was in my mind. So what it actually did is it took my mind away. So I went right past the exit and didn't even realize it. And we found out later that Nice Bridge was out. And we would have been stuck forever. That was God praying in me, saying, do what I tell you to do, not what you want to do. All right? Does that all make sense? Okay? So in the context of this lesson, our desire to pray is actually God's desire for us to lie down in green pastures. Pastures, as Jesus said in John 4:35, that are already white with harvest. Already white with harvest means that if you lie down in green pastures, that thing you want is already there. God already prepared it. It's already ready for you, right? But unless you can lie down in green pastures, just become still, you won't even recognize it. You won't even see it. So to lie down in green pastures is to stop living by our own light, meaning our own limited understanding of our finite ego, and instead surrender our thoughts, our opinions, our perceptions, our whole heart to God, the true Lord of our being. And when, you know, Charles Fillmore, who's one of the founders of Unity, when he felt out of sorts or out of tune with the divine, this was his favorite affirmation. I am now in the presence of pure being and immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and wisdom. I acknowledge thy presence and thy power, O blessed Spirit. And that's what he would say to get himself back in tune. So in other words, he would surrender his own perceptions, his own interpretation of what was occurring in that moment in his life. He would lie down in green pastures. So when stuff is going on, I know how many people got stuff going on right now? Everybody in the room, right? And when stuff is going on, we need to just follow that line in the 23rd Psalm, lie down in green pastures. It doesn't mean that you do nothing. You know, the Quaker said, as you pray, move your feet. But your lie down means in your mind, you're listening for guidance, okay? And as it's written in the book, A Psalm of Healing, the mind always seems to hold on to one delusion or another that keeps it from accepting God's invitation to lie down in green pastures. Now notice I said delusion, okay? And the revealing word says that green pastures represents substance, in a form in which it can be utilized by the individual. To lie down in green pastures represents lying down in substance that can be utilized for whatever the individual wants. So substance is a divine idea that's the underlying reality of all things. You say, well, again, what is substance, Butch? Well, substance is divine ideas. So when you lie down in green pastures, you begin to hear the divine ideas that are always coming to you. And because you have settled yourself down, not only do you hear them, but you can feel them, and you can feel that it's the way that you should go. Get me? Okay, because when we're in a fluster, we'll get those divine ideas, but because we're in a fluster, we're going, oh no, I can't do that. All right, because we can't feel it. So the reason to lie down in green pastures is to settle yourself down so not only do you hear the divine idea, but you can feel that it's the way that you should go, okay? And as it, what happened to me on 95, what happened was because God knew that I was fighting, it put my mind out. It put me in a place where I went off in another dimension until it just took the decision away from me. You get it? All right? It said, I want to go to this. My mind went off to something else. I went right past the exit. That's powerful. Okay? So substance, again, is the divine idea, the underlying reality of all things. So in essence, while we are praying, begging God for something, God is asking us to lie down in the divine substance out of which we can fashion anything that our heart desires. Okay, so in essence, while we're propositioning God, saying to him, oh, if you only do this for me, God, I promise you I'll be in church on Sunday. You know how we do that thing, right? Okay, see, God at the same time is proposing to us, let go of your perceptions and I will make you aware of the direct access you have to divine substance out of which you can fashion anything that you desire. And this is the essence of lying down in green pastures. So here's a story from my brother-in-law, Richard. So we were down in Mexico the other day, last week, and we're out in the ocean, and Richard's telling me this story. He's a Jehovah Witness. And he's saying, and Richard can swim. I mean, Doreen, Pam's sister, says whenever she hears a siren going off, she knows it's the lifeguards because he's going out too far, you know, and he can swim, and he, you know, and when he floats, it's like he's lying on top of the water. All right. So he swims out. But what happened was the day before, he doesn't really work out. He went to the gym and worked out like he used to work out years ago. So he's out there, he starts swimming back, and his muscles cramp up. And he's way out in the ocean. And he's too far out for him to yell to anybody to hear him. He's swimming. He's, Jehovah, please help me, Jehovah. You know, call Jehovah. And so he heard Jehovah say to him, you can float. Turn on your back and just move your arms. He said, and peace came. Oh, he just knew he was going to die. He saw it. But then when he heard Jehovah's voice, he just flipped on his back and floated himself back in. Right? You know? I mean, that's powerful, isn't it? Right? That's how the process works. Okay? So the key here is, you know, always keep your mind open to the idea that the divine is always trying to help you. So, you know, there we have it. So God's invitation versus our perception. God's invitation versus our perception. God's invitation is to lie down in green pastures versus our need to wallow in our own delusion. Okay? And again, we can justify our delusion, can't we? All right? We might call it a delusion, but we say, oh, no. This is what I'm going through. This is what's happening to me. Okay? So refusing to believe that surrendering, listening to God's prayer to be still could possibly be a viable alternative, that's a process we have to get used to. We got to get used to the fact that there's no alternative to the way that we always do things. But that's the purpose of the truth expressed in the 23rd Psalm. It is to teach us that truly the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So the next line is, he leadeth me beside still waters. And we've been studying in this lesson the idea about following God's guidance, to hear that guidance and to learn how to be still with the guidance. So being still, or still waters, is a very important idea. So also, when you read scripture, a lot of times the scripture is coming out of what was happening at those times. So lie down beside still waters. So listen to this story about what shepherds did in that time. So a shepherd leads his flock beside the still waters because he knows that sheep will not drink from rapidly running streams. The shepherd searches for a little lake or pond with still waters, or a stream gently flowing and calm. The sheep intuitively know that if the waters are not still, they cannot see what they are drinking, and they may drink something undesirable. So in addition, in still waters, the sheep can see the reflection of what is above them. In like fashion, when our mind is still, we can behold in the lake of our mind the reflection of what is above. Then we can drink of their aboveness and become nurtured and sustained by it. It goes on further to say, further, if the shepherd cannot find a quiet place for the sheep, he will create a place of still water so that the sheep can drink from it. Likewise, if we cannot find a place of peace in the world around us, we can find the stillness that the good shepherd has already prepared for us, which awaits at the center of our being. Isn't that powerful? All right? So the process of being still and hearing the still small voice of the divine presence within you, guiding you to still waters, is not something you can force yourself to. Becoming still, truly becoming still, is something that comes as reward for having lived a life dedicated to prayer. You want to be in a conscious mindset of prayer. Jesus said, pray how? Unceasingly, okay? And if you remember the lesson on praying without ceasing, we studied that this does not mean constantly speaking prayer. Rather, it means, as we read in Jeremiah 24:7, constantly turning all of your heart and all of your mind back to God. Because if we all know, the world is constantly trying to turn us to it. So if you're not consciously turning yourself to God, you will go where the world has taken you, okay? And as we, you know, try to whip our minds into stillness, you know, we want to whip ourselves into stillness. I'm going to be still, right? It's because even more than the whirlpools in our mind, you know, of course, it's all the stuff that's happening around us that we just can't seem to let go of. So the only way to achieve stillness is quite simply, you must let God lead you, because only God and God alone can lead you into the stillness of your inner self, and only God can lead you to still waters. Okay? Now, I want to end this with a poem from Myrtle Fillmore. Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity. And this is how she expresses how she cherished her quiet time with God. And she fashioned this poem from the Rosary, right? And it's called My Love for Thee. The hours I spend with thee, dear Lord, are pearls of priceless worth to me. My soul, my being merge in sweet accord in love for thee and love for thee. Each hour a pearl, a prayer binding thy presence close to me. I only now know that thou art there and I am lost in thee. O glorious days that thrill and bless, O vision sweet of love divine, my soul its rapturous bliss can ill express, that thou art mine, O Lord, that thou art mine. Amen.